Welcome to the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast with your co-hosts Matthew Davis and Matt Kupferle.
The FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Today is Wednesday, July 22nd, and we are only 2 days away for our MLB opening day or opening night. And I'm joined with Matt Kupferle today, and we are going to go over some general news, another buy, hold, sell segment. We're going to be releasing our NL and AL award winners, along with the World Series matchup, and two winners on the podcast are going to be receiving RotoWear t-shirts. So it's going to be a fun and exciting podcast. We're going to try and make it clear and concise and be quick for you guys. So let's get into it. How you doing, Matt?
I'm doing great, man. Had two online championship drafts the last two nights. Really tough room last night with Clay Link and a bunch of folks. So, but it's really fun. Gets me excited and ready to go for us to chat about some more baseball. And we're going to have some real games on TV, which is awesome.
Yeah, I have another main event tonight, which will be my third. And then tomorrow I'll be wrapping that up with my fourth and fifth main event. So I have two drafts going on tomorrow. The first is going to be in the morning, and then the second one's going to be at night, and that's going to be with my NFBC partner, Zach Betancourt. So it should be a fun-filled day tomorrow. I'm looking forward to everything. So the first thing that we're going to get into, it's been talked about late last night after everything was announced, that the Toronto Blue Jays are going to be hosting their home games in Pittsburgh at PNC Park. And the first thing I thought about doing was talking to Derek Cardi, going into some of his data with his park factors, because he's able to really dissect and get deep into that stuff. And so earlier today, he posted some of those park factors and the differences between Rogers Center and PNC Park. And where Rogers Center only ranks two spots higher overall offensively, there's a major difference in home runs. And the factor is a 21% difference in regards to the home run factor overall. But it's interesting to see, though, so you would think that the pitchers would have a huge advantage being that the home run factor is such a difference, but the strikeout rate goes down 4% and the walk rate goes up 3% and the BABIP also goes up 3%. So when those things are all, you know, factoring in for the pitcher, they negatively impact the pitcher, and that somewhat mitigates that ERA difference that you're likely seeing when you look at those park factors. So it's going to be interesting to see the downgrades that are going to be provided to some of the right-handed hitters, because if you dig a little bit deeper, you'll notice that the left field is much lower in park factor in regards to right field at PNC Park. So it will hurt the likes of Bo Bichette and Vlad Guerrero a little bit more than somebody like Kevin Biggio, and I'll let Matt touch up on that in a little bit. So there's a couple questions to be raised, Matt. What do we do with some of the high-profile right-handed hitters? And then what do we do with some of the talked-about pitchers for the Blue Jays? I know people are already, you know, drafting Hyunjin Ryu, and people are somewhat high on the rookie Nate Pearson. How does all of this how's this settling with you?
Yeah, I think for me at least, you nailed exactly where I was going with this. I think for the right-handed bats, you know, it's a great offense. It's funny, we were really close, it felt like, Matthew, talking about this team playing in Baltimore, which would have been amazing to watch. And now we're talking about them playing in Pittsburgh. So for me, I'm probably bumping down Bo Bichette a couple of spots, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. a couple of spots. I am probably a little bit more bullish on guys like Kevin Biggio. I think Travis Shaw is an interesting dart throw, potentially, if he, you know, locks in those at bats and he does hit in a prime spot in the lineup. The other, though, impact, I think, and I would tell you, is in the Rogers Center specifically with Ryu, I wasn't super bullish on him. But given that he neutralizes left-handed bats and he can maybe, you know, be a fly ball heavy pitcher, he may be okay against those right-handed hitters. So I probably bump him up a couple spots. Unfortunately, I'm not a Nate Pearson guy. I think he's going to struggle. Dude has obviously electric stuff, but I'm taking a pass most likely in 2020.
Okay. The one thing that I also, you touched on some of those pitchers, is what about Ken Giles? I was already one of, if not the highest guy in regards to projecting and ranking him. I'm staring at my rankings and I still currently have him as the fourth overall closer. So he didn't have home run issues as it is. I mean, this can only help somebody like Ken Giles, and we know that he's yep. got the closer role. There's no competition behind him, so it'll be interesting to see what it does overall to the ADP market. I don't think that it will budge Ken Giles. You know, he's kind of just going where he's going.
Sure.
But I wouldn't be shocked to see Hyunjin Ryu slide up a little bit just because yeah. people are going to, you know, they're just going to see that home run factor difference and they're going to run with it. Or what about the ADPs in regards to Bo Bichette and Vlad Guerrero? You know, they're going in the third, fourth rounds of these main events. Do you think starting tonight that they could fall a little bit, or do you think that they'll stay where they're at?
I don't think you'll see a massive slide on those guys. Again, for me, look, I think there's actually a ton of depth. We've talked a little bit about it, but you know, I really like Bo Bichette. I think he's an awesome player. I personally like some of the values that are available, maybe a few spots after Bo Bichette. You know, some guys that pop into mind for me, you know, I really like Tim Anderson around the ADP of 100 mark. I'm not a St. Louis homer. In fact, I've learned that I'm probably even harder on Cardinals than I should be. I really like Paul DeJong this year, betting cleanup for the Cardinals. And he's at about ADP 160 right now. Doesn't mean Bo Bichette doesn't have a ton of value. But what it does mean for me is it's going to be really hard for me to take him at that spot. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., again, he's one that, you know, so much hype and promise, and he's going to have a great career. Again, he's just sliding up a little bit higher for me. That is a position, if you're rostering him, it can thin out a little bit at third base, so I understand why people are grabbing him where they're grabbing him. But he is not anyone that I've owned in any draft this year, not because I don't like him. I just see some values kind of around that mark. You know, last night in a draft, I got Matt Chapman a little bit later because I think he has AL MVP upside that we're going to talk about in a bit. But I think you're right. I think you have to downgrade him a bit. And to your point on Giles, you and I have had a lot of discussions. I think he's an ace in the hole from a closer perspective. He's not going in those earlier rounds, but I think this even bolsters him further that he could be that elite closer. He's got wipeout stuff like you've talked about, and this park certainly does not hurt him by any stretch.
I'm going to close up on the Jays with letting you know, and I think you might know this or maybe you don't. I'm one of those people that have invested in Vladimir Guerrero Jr., but fortunately for me, I was able to get him in the fifth round, and it was the middle of the fifth round, so I did not have to invest that fourth round draft capital on him. Do you hear that? Beep, beep, beep. That's the Brinks truck. The Dodgers Brinks truck is backing up right now. And it's being reported everywhere on Twitter, and I'm trying to, you know, keep my excitement down. But Mookie Betts is apparently close to signing a deal near 10 years, $350 million. And so I thought that was somewhat relevant. It's really cool to see the Dodgers front office finally, you know, putting their fist on the table or pounding their fist on the table and saying that we're here to lock somebody up long term, and we don't want to just, you know, play these short-term games. So it's really exciting to see that they, you know, they ponied up and let go of Alex Verdugo and a couple others, and they're going to lock Mookie up long term as far as I'm concerned. So I just wanted to mention that before we get into the buy, hold, sell segment. I'm sure everybody else listening to this that isn't a Dodgers fan is probably a little jealous right now, but I simply cannot wait. I'm sorry. I had to mention that part. Okay.
Had a whole lot to comment there on Mookie.
No, it's fine.
great signing. He's primed for a huge 2020. Another dent to any other NL contenders for the pennant. But I think we all saw the writing on the wall that this was likely to happen. Good for Mookie. I think it does raise the only flag that the Phillies are now going to have to back up the Brinks truck for JT Realmuto and others. I think maybe a couple folks, Matthew, thought, you know, what would this do to folks that need to sign an extension after 2020? But
there
Dodgers ponied up, which means money is going to be there and going to be there to spend. So all those guys looking for big deals, the money is obviously there. Even though the owner said there's not a whole lot of money in baseball, I guess they found a way to find $350 million in L.A.
That's a fantastic point. And that's what I thought about right away was, you know, the economics behind it. And, you know, Mookie could be the domino effect that continues to get these players the money that they deserve. So All right, next segment's the buy, hold, sell, and we're going to be going into a few different subjects or teams and players. And the first one is the Cardinals bullpen, and I have no idea what to do. We last night on Twitter, everyone was talking about Schilt, or was it Monday night, I believe, sorry. Schilt was talking about having Kwang Hyun Kim, you know, potentially be the closer. We're seeing Gianni Gallegos be the first reliever drafted out of that Cardinals bullpen, followed up by Ryan Helsley, and then it's Kim. Going into the ADPs before I hand it off to you, since you are the Cardinals guy, Matt, Gianni Gallegos is ADP is 191 with a min of 152 and a max of 282. So he's going on average in the NFBC main event in the 13th round. And then next is Ryan Helsley with an ADP of 237, a min of 153, and a max of 362 on average in the 16th round. And then we have Kim with an ADP of 294, and now we've seen that min jump now up to 148 and a max of 368 on average in the 20th round. But I don't think he's going to be sitting in the 20th round these next 2 days going into the main event. So, Matt, I'm just going to hand it off to you, and please tell the people, what the hell are we supposed to do with the Cardinals bullpen?
I think what the hell is the appropriate response. I was talking with Scott Jenstad and some others when this news broke, and honestly, from some people that I've talked to in the Cardinals organization, they were all set that it was Ryan Helsley's job. I think this surprised even a couple other folks. So trying to even surmise what's going on, and certainly I don't think anybody knows at this point. I really think that they wanted Kim to be in the rotation, but the way Carlos Martinez performed, you know, Kim just made a start, and I think threw 93 pitches in a start the other day. So it's obvious they were stretching him out to be a starter. Now, that being said, I think Kim is also the first person up. If anything happens to a starter in that rotation, which has Adam Wainwright that's missed time, you've got Dakota Hudson, who's had some struggles. Obviously, Carlos Martinez has had shoulder issues. I still think Kim is the guy that they put in. Daniel Ponce de Leon's there as well, but I still think that they want Kim in that role. Now, that being said, if you're still drafting, last night in my draft, Kim went at pick 152. So he went super early on a spec that he's going to be the closer. And then Gallegos went 12 picks after him. I think the guy you still want to own is Ryan Helsley. Now, Gallegos throws a little bit of a wrench into this because he's back. He said he was still throwing. I think everybody's a little bit confused. Was it visa issues? Was it COVID related? Was it all the above? I don't think anybody really understands, other than he obviously reported super late, so he's behind. But I would bet my money on it being Helsley, and you can save some draft capital and take him a lot later. For a guy like Kim, Matthew, that's never recorded a save in his life and always been a starter, I just have a really hard time believing that he nails down and holds that role. But perhaps I'm doing or being a little bit too speculative or skeptical in nature. I don't see this really happening.
I think the biggest point to take away from what you said is, just a few days ago, you texted me and was like, holy shit, Kim's pitched X amount of, you know, he's thrown X amount of pitches and is this deep into the game. And then within 24 to 48 hours, it was like, he's going to be the closer. And sure, he might, you know, come out and get a save right away, and that may be the case. And then you're going to see Fab, if leagues have already drafted, go through the roof for Kim. And you mentioned injuries are going to occur, and you mentioned what happens with Dakota Hudson or Adam Wainwright. They might be, you know, forced to use Kim because he is stretched out much more than Gallegos and Helsley. So that could be a really big factor in all of that, is, you know, Kim can do, you know, multiple innings, and he can be stretched out as a starter. He is stretched out as a starter. So I definitely would be taking Schilt's, you know, comments from yesterday or Monday with a grain of salt myself. So thanks for highlighting that, man. That's, you know, something to monitor. But it just seems like the draft capital for all of them, like, you still have to invest in them. 13th round, 16th round. We've seen Kim for the 20th round on average. But, you know, now Kim's going to go into that 13th to 15th round. Yeah. You know,
I'd rather take a shot on Helsley maybe 7 rounds later, who I thought was the closer, than I would on Kim in the 11th, 12th, 13th in an online championship or earlier in a main event, because I really don't – I mean, he could be a starter, and that still could provide great value. It's just such an interesting mix that I'm – I don't know. Maybe it's my risk-averse profile. It just seems a little bit wonky to me.
Yeah, I think so. For the next 2 days, we have I don't know how many main events are running, but those are, you know, today and tomorrow, Wednesday and Thursday, that's when they are running. And I am not going to be shocked to see three relievers from one bullpen go within 2 to 3 rounds of each other. And so that's just too muddy, too murky for me. So earlier today, Hunter Dozier was mentioned on Twitter, and he tested positive for coronavirus, COVID-19. And so now he's going to be out until, I guess, best case scenario, when you factor in hopefully 14 days and then the 2 negative tests. And then he's going to have to get his bat speed up to par or whatnot to, you know, ramp back up. It wouldn't be as long as a pitcher, but there is some sort of a process for that. So I was estimating Monday, August 10th as the best case scenario. And in 2019, we did see Hunter Dozier have a career year with 26 home runs, 84 RBI, and a .279 average. He was slotted to hit in the thick of that Royals lineup. What do we take away with this, Matt? What do we do? His current ADP in the main event was .204 with a min of .179 and .225. That's going in the 14th round on average. Obviously, we're not going to see that. He might not even be drafted any further, you know, in these main events. Is there any impact or anything that you can take away from this situation? Is there anything to do with this, Matt?
I think the biggest thing is I don't know that if you're still drafting, I think your timeline seems pretty reasonable. I don't know that you can draft Hunter Dozier. If you do, it needs to be in your reserve rounds, rounds 24 to 30. It really stinks because all of the advanced data from MLB Savant and others looks outstanding, and I think Dozier was for real. Ryan McBroom looks penciled to take over. You know, I was originally thinking it was Ryan O'Hearn, but I think he's dealing with COVID-19 also. So I think the analysis is Dozier becomes either undraftable or maybe a super late flyer, and there's really not anybody that you're looking at from a replacement level on the Royals that you want to own.
Yeah. That's right. It's pretty much, what do you do with Hunter Dozier? Do you try and stash him? I personally, with this short season, I can't hold somebody for 2 weeks because, I mean, we're starting the season here in 48 hours or whatever, and we know that, so in 2-plus days, he's still got another 12 or more, and with, you know, hoping he passes those negative tests. So I think I'm going to be just selling pretty much on Hunter Dozier for now. It's just not something I'm going to be looking for. And the next player we're going to talk about, it touched home a little bit, and it stung when I started reading reports on Twitter. Gavin Lux was optioned yesterday, and he won't be on the opening night roster for the Los Angeles Dodgers. I recently invested in Gavin Lux in a main event, round 13. So I'll touch base on what I'm going to be doing with him as well. But I should have been more cognizant. He was a late arrival, and we didn't know why he was late arrival. So we can speculate. Maybe he was one of the people that didn't want to have the public know that he tested positive. And if that was the case still, or if it wasn't the case, I should have been, you know, more cognizant of knowing that he's alive. Arrive late, and the Dodgers do have the talent, and then looking into, you know, some sort of service time manipulation. Andrew Baggerly on Twitter recently reported that Lux already has accrued 28 days of service, and they would need to keep him down for at least 16 more days to, you know, basically manipulate that time. So for me, I'm on the side of the fence where I think that the Dodgers are going to get his bat up to par, and then they might at that point, especially because they're most likely going to be, you know, not just tanking and losing games, they're probably going to still be in first place regardless of Gavin Lux's, you know, where he's at. I think that they'll probably hold out those 16 days, and then at that point they will call him up, and then you'll likely see him in that everyday lineup, especially because it's a carousel right now with what are we doing with Chris Taylor? What are we doing with Kike Hernandez? We don't know who's starting. We could see both of them split series. We can see both of them move to left field. We can see Max Muncy move over to second base. They have so many moving pieces that it makes it difficult to project or predict who's going to get the bulk of the playing time. So for now, I'm going to hold on Gavin Lux and basically just kind of, you know, read reports and see how he's doing over at USC. That's where their alternate site is. It's over at USC campus. And I'm going to hold on Gavin Lux because I've already invested too much. And if I don't have, you know, random COVID people popping up or random injuries, series. I'm going to hold for now. What about you, Matt? Do you have any investments in Lux or any drafts where you're going to try and buy low?
I'm actually going to say that I have Gavin Lux as a sell. He went at pick 171 in my online championship last night, which I felt was obviously a little bit crazy to me because we knew what was going on at the time of the draft. To your point, I think if he's out, you know, if they do the service time manipulation, he's probably back around the August 10th-ish range, like we were discussing with Hunter Dozier. I think the talent is there. I think it's a great lineup, and I think you want to own as many pieces as possible of the Dodgers lineup. I've been investing in that lineup and the Twins lineup. It's obviously one that you want to own pieces of. So I think what it really becomes is if he's there, in my mind, you know, you mentioned his ADP of 198. In my mind, if he's available after pick 200, I think he's worth the dart throw. I think if you're now knowing what the situation is, I don't think you can invest, you know, first 15 to 17 round equity on him. To me, and I'm going to get picks wrong. We do all the time, right? But to me, knowing what I know, that seems to be a challenge. So you're right, though. The situation is murky on who to own, if it's Kiki Hernandez, if it's Chris Taylor, et cetera. But for me, I probably got him as a sell. But in your case where you own him already, I'm totally fine with him being a hold and maybe occupying that last draft spot. It's just going to be fun. This 60-game sprint is going to be wild. I think we have 9 fab periods, so you've got to be aggressive in your waiver wire to fill the holes that you've got, because you don't – you've always got to be aggressive, and I've learned that over the years in the NFBC, but I think this year you got to be ultra-aggressive in filling some of those spots. And so it's going to, it may be one of those situations, Matthew, where you need that roster spot for something, and so if you have to cut them, I don't blame you there either.
All right, I want to point something out that's super gnarly that just popped to me. You mentioned that he went yesterday in your OC, your NFBC RotoWire online championship. I want to say you said in the 170s?
171. He was the third pick of the 15th round.
So whoever drafted him last night didn't know the news, I'm guessing, because in the main event, his ADP is 198, like we touched on. Mm-hmm. Last night in the NFBC main event, so the NFBC main event, if you're not aware, is a 15-team league, and there's a huge overall prize, whereas the RotoWire Online Championship is a 12-team league, and it also does have a nice overall prize as well, but the entry fee is substantially lower. And last night, Gavin Lux went 331 in the NFBC main event. Yeah. So maybe you're a buyer then, because you were saying that you were selling initially at around 13, 14, 15, or whatever. Now he's going early 23rd round.
Oh yeah,
you know, or late 22nd. Yeah. So now things it's really interesting to see how fast those NFBC main event people adjust. Yes. Rather than, you know, some people might jump into that online championship and they're not completely aware. When you jump into that Shark Tank of the main event, people are correcting things immediately. So that was really interesting to see.
Yeah, and I think, Matthew, it's a great point to give you a different perspective, and I'm probably going to butcher his name, but I purchased Jose Urquidy, or I think that's right,
Urquidy,
in round 28, and I know he has COVID-19, right? And obviously, mm-hmm. I'm not suggesting that Gavin Lux had COVID-19. The point being is exactly what you're saying. You can take late shots in instances like those, and I think it's okay, because you can churn and burn those last couple of spots. If you're picking Gavin Lux, so, you know, round 28 in my draft last night, that's almost at that pick 330-ish range. At that point, absolutely. After 300, the upside for Gavin Lux is immense, right? I don't think you can spend an 150th overall pick at the same spot.
Yep, absolutely. I agree with you. And so we're going to move on to the next, you know, we're actually going to pair these people, and it's a yin and yang. And it's Houston Astros. And yesterday we saw reports from Astros camp that Dusty Baker mentioned the current exhibition lineup that we saw yesterday was going to be the one that he uses on opening day. And that lineup did not have Kyle Tucker in it. It had Aledmys Diaz in it. And so people started freaking out because Kyle Tucker has an ADP of 168, a min pick of 138, and a max of 196. That's the 12th round on average. And now we're seeing Aledmys Diaz, who I'm sure you're familiar with, an ADP of 450, and his min and max is 437, meaning he literally just started getting drafted in main events yesterday. So what are we doing? There was some writing on the wall that I think that we could get behind, but I want to get your take first before you know, digging a little bit deeper on this weird Astros situation. What are you doing here, Matt?
So it's disappointing. This is kind of like, and I saw some, honestly, some things that made me laugh really hard. It's a lot of, you know, analysis and joking, obviously, but, you know, why do these teams hate certain players? Hate obviously being a joke, right? But for example, people are frustrated that, you know, why do the Rockies always Rocky? Can they figure out what's going on with Garrett Hampson or Sam Hilliard or whatever's going on? You know, they signed Matt Kemp. Kyle Tucker is another one, right? Last year at Round Rock, Kyle Tucker went 30-30, which is freaking incredible. 34 home runs, 30 stolen bases, 11% walk rate still. So the dude obviously freaking mashes, right? And then you see that Aledmys Diaz is getting at-bats. And it just – it makes you scratch your head for a guy in a cup of coffee last year with the Astros in 72 plate appearances, 5 steals, 4 homers. I mean, the guy is uber talented. I am probably owning Kyle Tucker. I don't want any part of Aledmys Diaz. I think the great thing is the price is probably going to be depressed on Kyle Tucker. I think he's worth one of those, you know, shots that you want to take late in a draft because he could be awesome. And Jordan Alvarez, we still don't have news on him out of Astros camp, which means the door is open against right-handed pitching for Kyle Tucker. I personally think Kyle Tucker can hit any form of pitching. I don't think it's limited to right-handed pitching. But I'm probably investing in Kyle Tucker. I think this Aledmys Diaz thing is maybe, you know, Dusty liking vets. He wants to play the platoon. But my opinion, Matthew, is that I think you want to invest in Kyle Tucker, and I don't think Aledmys Diaz is worth a whole lot.
Yeah, so we know that when Dusty made that comment, he said that that's going to be for the opening day lineup. And Marco Gonzalez is starting for the Mariners, and Marco Gonzalez is a lefty, and Kyle Tucker's a left-handed hitter. And so the platoon splits right away say, play Aledmys Diaz. And one of the things that Dusty Baker did touch on was saying that he also needs to study Tucker versus left-handed pitching, which I find to be a crock of shit. He's now the manager and being paid millions of dollars to, you know, run this, you know, not run the organization, but manage the organization. And the front office is very, very analytical, and they know exactly how Kyle Tucker handles left-handed pitching. So I'm not completely sold on Kyle Tucker just being, you know, the 10th guy or the 11th guy. I think that, you know, we could see him on the second day against Taijuan Walker be slotted right away as the DH for the Houston Astros against right-handed pitching. And then shortly after that, if Kyle Tucker gets going, which everyone on Twitter and everyone that's drafting him in the 12th or 13th round, they're certainly hoping or projecting for him to do. And if he's going to do what those people are investing him to do, there's no fucking way that he gets taken out of the lineup. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens these next two nights. I'm going to be monitoring the main event draft boards to see, you know, how far Kyle Tucker does go, because it's going to be – he will fall. I promise you that. He's going to fall, and it just depends how far he falls. Yep. He could provide, you know, room for profit. There wasn't going to be room for profit if you're drafting him in the 12th round. I don't know what you're doing. There's a lot of other guys, and I don't have the ADP data in front of me, and I'm not going to start ciphering through and naming off a bunch of people, but I've already done two main events, and, you know, that's not a ton, but I've already been in two main events, and I have three to go. I can certainly tell you that there's more viable options in the 12th and 13th round before knowing whether Kyle Tucker's slotted in the lineup or not. So the shiny new toy syndrome needs to chill out. Let's chill the fuck out on it. You know what I mean? Like, we didn't have anything set in stone. Kyle Tucker's the guy. Like, we don't know that.
Yeah.
Stop investing. And people was probably going to say, well, you just did that to Gavin Lux. Well, it was a little bit different scenario. So, you know, to each his own. But I just think that sometimes, and even myself, I mentioned I made mistakes not realizing Gavin Lux was late to camp. We need to realize some of these things when it comes to some of these young players, especially on teams like the Dodgers and Astros.
Yeah.
It's hard to understand, especially because these teams have the depth, they have the talent, and they can switch out these pieces. They're interchangeable, you know, and they're smart teams. Then we have, like we discussed earlier, and we were joking about, the Colorado Rockies are, like, desperately trying to be the Houston Astros and Los Angeles Dodgers, but they just simply aren't. They don't have the pieces to do it. Like, Bud Black wants to be analytical now. That's fucking hilarious, because the Astros aren't, even if they wanted to be smart enough, they just don't have the pieces to be that smart. So,
The only thing I will say, as you get through your leagues, and it's a really good piece of advice I was given, make sure, one of the biggest things you can do, make sure as you make your waiver bids, it's as much about who you get, and you got to keep monitoring who's dropped. If Kyle Tucker goes onto your waiver wire, I strongly think you need to take a look at, you know, make your notes, keep an eye on him, because if he picks right back up, that's a guy, I think that's an impact bat that you want to add that you'll never look back from. So keep an eye on that. See if an owner has to get desperate because they did spend an early round pick and maybe he only plays once opening weekend. Take a look at it. Make sure you're monitoring what's going on in your fab situations.
That might be the most valuable piece of information that we give on today's podcast. And I'm going to throw Gavin Lux in that same little bucket as Kyle Tucker. If he gets cut this week, not that it'll be, you know, and this isn't, I don't want to just keep talking like, hey, only to people that play in a 15-team NFBC main event. You're 12 teams, 10 teams. You might see these guys cut or not in a 10-team, I'm sorry, but like the RotoWire Online Championship in a 12-team. If you do see Lux or Tucker cut and you've got a team, you know, filled with health and you're not stashing people, you know, right away, take a shot on these guys because they do have the pedigree and they do have the talent and the offensive context and the lineup that they're around is just, it's elite, it's 80 grade. So you want any yep. piece of that pie. And yep. these guys have the pedigree that's, you know, above half the players that they're, you know, battling for playing time. So
yep.
Beautiful, Matt. Yes, definitely. If those guys get cut, add them and just play the spec game for a week or two and see if you struck gold yep. on Kyle Tucker or Gavin Lux.
Absolutely.
So there's not too much more player news and buy, hold, sell. So next we're going to get into award winners. And this is just more of a fun segment because we're close to opening day and we've waited 5 months overall just simply since the Super Bowl was done. So we haven't had any of the three major sports in 5 months, almost half a year. And Major League Baseball is right around the corner. We're less than 48 hours away now. And I wanted to go over some award winners, just throw some fun out there and see who are NL, AL, MVP, Cy Young, Rookie of the Year, and then to follow that up with who do you think is going to play in the World Series along with your winner. And Matt, you can go first if you want to touch sure. on NL, and then I'll follow up with NL, and then we can go into the AL.
Okay. So for National League Cy Young, I have Walker Buehler. I know that he's going to be brought along slowly, but honestly, I think he's charged and ready to go. I've been pretty vocal about the fact that I think this Dodger team honestly has 40 wins in them. If you told me at the end of September that the Dodgers went 44-16, I wouldn't be stunned. And I think if you've watched their offense at all, it's probably going to be via blowout. So I wouldn't be stunned at all if Buehler, you know, is just dominant for this stretch. He added to his strikeout rate. He even lowered his walk rate last year. I think he's primed for a massive season for the Dodgers. This is going to be boring, but I've got Mookie as the MVP. You know, not that he needs any kind of award bonuses after getting that 10-year deal, but I think he's going to be a table setter in that lineup. I think the one thing that's really interesting, as good as Mookie's been in Boston, is that by moving to Dodger Stadium, Mookie actually hits a ton of balls back up the middle. And if you remember, I'm pretty sure Fenway is 420 or 423 feet to straightaway center. And Dodger Stadium, I think, is 390, Matthew. Keep me honest on that. I think Mookie could even see a jump in his pop numbers as well. So I like Mookie as MVP. And then my NL Rookie of the Year may surprise some folks. He's certainly not a rookie by the traditional sense, but it's Shogo Akiyama for the Reds. I think the NL Central, quite frankly, as a Cardinals fan and other, is just a terrible division. I think the Reds are going to beat the baseball up. I think they're going to be like the Dodgers. I think they're going to be a super prolific offense. And for a guy that's got a career walk rate in the double digits, he's going to be a huge table setter for that offense. He's a great late pick in the, you know, 250 range of your drafts if you're looking for somebody as a fourth or fifth outfielder. But I think he table sets with a solid average, scores a ton. I think the Reds win that division. I just wrote that up over at FTN. So those are my picks for the NL.
I love it. I should have went first because my NL MVP was going to be Mookie Betts. But I have Bryce Harper. That's who the NL MVP is for me. I think that Mookie Betts and Cody Bellinger might eat into each other's production along with having, you know, Clayton Kershaw and the Walker yeah. Buehler and everything else between with all the depth and talent and that they have. I think that Bryce Harper can have himself another mega season and take yep. home that trophy. And then in the NL Cy Young, I'm going to go with a teammate of yours, and I'm going to go with Clayton Kershaw. And this would be, you know, this season plays out so perfectly for him. I want to say that Fred Zinke, and I mushed to him on Twitter the other day when he mentioned it to Jeff Erickson on the RotoWire podcast, was that Clayton Kershaw is – he's got a different mindset, and we know that this is a short season. And myself personally, I've seen Clayton Kershaw speaking in some of these interviews right now and during these exhibition games or summer camp or whatever, and it seems like Clayton Kershaw is talking like he's in October mode. And I know that he's feeling well. He's stretched out, and he is ready to go. He's even trying to work on his pitch mix a little bit more to integrate his changeup again, to increase that usage a little bit. So I'm very bullish on Clayton Kershaw. I know he's healthy, and if you tell me you need 12 to 13 starts, he's pitching in the NL West, he gets his first one is on Thursday at home against the Giants, I just think he gets a hot start right out of the gate, and I do not think that we look back. NL Cy Young, multiple NL Cy Young winner, Clayton Kershaw. And then for the Rookie of the Year, I have Mackenzie Gore. I feel that AJ Preller and the San Diego Padres are in win now mode, and this could be his last season there if he doesn't, make some noise. So I'm going to go with Mackenzie Gore. I truly believe that he's going to be pushed into that rotation pretty quickly, if not, within the first week, I believe. And he should slide right in. At the back of the rotation is pretty weak after you get past Lamet, Richards, and Paddock. So Mackenzie Gore is going to be my National League Rookie of the Year. Where are you at on the AL?
AL, I've got this one I know you won't agree with. I know that you like him, but you and I have, I think, a little bit of a different opinion on him. I have Shane Bieber winning the AL Cy Young. I think he takes another step forward this year. I've got Josh Donaldson winning the AL MVP. I think that Twins offense is just absurd. And we've seen stretches where, JD just no one can get him out at this point. He took it for me just over Matt Chapman. And AL Rookie of the Year, I think he's being overdrafted in leagues, but I don't think he has a ton of competition, is Luis Robert of the Chicago White Sox.
All right, I like it. I'm going to go inverse here and go my American League Rookie of the Year would be Joe Adell. And we know that playing time isn't going to be there right away, but there are a few factors that are, being factored into this, along with Mike Trout. So Mike Trout's got the baby on the way. We don't know how much exact time he's going to miss. Is he going to come back? Is he going to try and, leave a little bit earlier? We just don't know. Then we've got Anthony Rendon's oblique. The Angels are absolutely in win now mode. They're pressured to win now. Moreno is being pressured by the media and the fans constantly. Goodwin isn't really somebody that we're just going to be extremely excited about. Otani is just a chess piece that's moving around. They lost Cole Calhoun. Justin Upton's had injuries. They need to call up Joe Adell. They need to bring him up. They've got to use him, especially if Rendon's not, on that opening day lineup. If he hits the IL with the oblique, there's just too many factors that are just uncertainties with this Angels lineup, and they're a talented team. They're wanting to do a six-man rotation. Most of those pitchers are good. They have a decent bullpen. If the offense is fully clicking and they're all there playing, they're decent, but Joe Adell really does push the needle for them. And I believe with all the uncertainties and the injuries and question marks with Mike Trout, I think that Joe Adell does get the PT, and he's really talented. So give me Joe Adell on the American League Rookie of the Year. And I'm going to go with another teammate. It's funny. So you said Walker Buehler and Shane Bieber. I went Clayton Kershaw, and now I'm going Mike Clevinger. So I will take Mike Clevinger over Shane Bieber any day of the week. We're seeing Mike Clevinger actually be selected ahead of Shane Bieber in the NFBC main event. It's funny, though, because when you look at a lot of people's rankings and what people tweet and what they say, it's more Shane Bieber. Shane Bieber. We like Shane Bieber. I know that Saris's rankings had Shane Bieber a little bit higher. I know that Dave from Rotosaurus is a little bit higher on Shane Bieber. And then, a lot of people that chime in, they simply say a lot of nice things about Shane Bieber. But then when you look at the draft market, it shows Mike Clevinger and then Shane Bieber being drafted. So I'll go with Mike Clevinger there. I'm very high on the Indians in general. And I think that this weird season is going to play good for them. So give me Mike Clevinger. And then for the AL MVP, this is really fucking pains me to say, but I'm going to go with Alex Bregman. I know that people are somewhat simmering off of him because there was reports of him like not having his swing. And yeah, fuck him, right? Cheater! Boo! But no, I think that this Astros team with a refreshed Dusty Baker and a fire lit under their own ass, they don't have the fans. They don't have to travel and worry about all those fans. The media is not going to be able to be up in their face like we initially thought. It's going to be like through Zoom. And so there's a lot of components to these Astros guys. I was initially deducting a lot of, you know, they're from their projections. I was like, I'm down on them. And maybe it was just like the initial bad taste in my mouth. But I mean, there's so many components of these real life things that people don't want to bake in, like I've mentioned. And then on top of that, they want to prove to you that they're not good just because they cheated or knew what pitch was coming or whatever you want to say.
Yep.
They want to fucking crush. From everything I've read, they want to destroy, and Dusty Baker loves to have his players run. Bregman's healthy, Springer's healthy, Altuve's healthy, Correa's healthy. Albeit they're without Yordan, they still have so much talent. I'm freakishly scared of the Astros this year. And so, yeah, give me Alex Bregman, American League MVP. And that'll wrap up the award winner. Sorry, that went on a little bit longer than we wanted to. Let's quickly touch up on the World Series. Who do you have in the matchup? Who do you have winning? And then we will go into the two people that are going to be winning RotoWear shirts, and then we'll close it out.
I've got Dodgers, Twins, and sadly, I've got the Dodgers taking their World Series title. First one since 1988, I believe.
Love it. You just, you know how to warm me up. But I'm going to piggyback that. And of course, I have the Dodgers going to the World Series. If you don't, you're wrong. And I'm actually going to have them. So initially, there was a couple teams, and I was weighing between the Indians and Twins. And then after I started to debate that a little bit, I kind of washed them off. And I'm going to go 2020 World Series is the Los Angeles Dodgers versus the Houston Astros. And we're going to get a repeat of the 2017 season. There won't be any fans, but let me tell you, it will be insane. And it will be something for everybody to pack into on Twitter, watch around the living room. So, yeah, Dodgers, Astros with the Dodgers obviously winning the World Series. Anything else before we go into the podcast winners and close up, Matt?
No. Announce those podcast winners. Thanks, everybody, for your support. Two fun winners that Matthew's got.
Yeah, absolutely. So the two winners are Ryan Hungerford at H-U-N-G-Y, which is Hungy79. And then we've got Yamizis at on Twitter, YJV_24. That's it for episode 4. Thank you guys so much for joining and listening to us. Stay tuned on Twitter as we've got some exciting stuff coming up. Matt, do you have any work that you want to share that's going to be dropped on FTN soon?
Yeah, you know, I think we both did a divisional write-up, which is a really interesting look at DFS, which, you know, obviously kicks off this weekend, so that should be pretty fun. But that's mostly what I'm focused on, and then maybe a couple of season-long pieces as we get into it. But then that'll lead into – I know you've got some stuff coming up. We've got our Saturday Fab episode we'll record as well after we really get to see some freaking baseball, which is awesome. So that's what I'm working on right now. How about you?
That's right. I've got my NLS primer coming out, and my weekly Fab article will be dropped on Sunday night or Sunday morning, and then you and I will be touching base every Saturday evening to give people – a verbal listen to a quick Fab on Sunday morning. So
hell yeah. Give the people what they want.
Yeah. And everybody, please grill up those hot dogs, get them cold beers ready, popcorn, whatever it is, soda, snacks. Baseball's coming, baby. It's back. Let's go.
That's right. All right. That'll wrap things up for episode 4. Look forward also to, as we touch base this weekend, Matthew, it was a ton of fun. Good luck in your main events. I know you got a bunch. Keep crushing. And everybody, we'll talk with you soon.
Peace.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast with the two Matts. Please rate, subscribe, and review the podcast. And we hope you listen again soon.